through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Tom, Jake, and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Ross.
We do this after every game, win or loss. It might be the first loss for Seattle. We're still going to go through what caught our eye. Let's get started right now. All right, I'm going to go ahead and get us started since I have control here. I'm driving. Here's what caught my eye. The first drive, first overall drive. I know it sounds really obvious, but on both sides of the ball, this is Seattle at its best. When you think, can this team win a Super Bowl? This is what you're looking at. You're looking at a quick drive to get down the field, starting with an explosive play, 34 yards to Tyler Lockett, ending with a quick touchdown. You get there, six plays, 75 yards, 3 minutes on the subsequent drive. The Seattle Seahawks defense, for all its flaws, holds the Arizona Cardinals to a three and out to get things started. This is the Seattle Seahawks team that can win you a Super Bowl, you guys. I want to play one more time the highlight of Tyler Lockett for that diving one-handed catch.
Shotgun snap. First play. Russell's going to throw. Looks going to throw it up deep. Got a man out there. Lockett reaches up with one hand and makes an unbelievable catch just outside the Arizona 35-yard line. One play, one highlight film. Tyler Lockett with a huge catch. One-handed. What a reception.
That play was absolutely amazing. I mean, that was a lot of fun, and seeing those two drives, I mean, was outstanding. Offense just went right up and down the field. Good mix of run and pass. I think Ray Roberts would be happy with that first drive in the sense where he's talking about, you know, marrying the run game and the pass game together, where it doesn't seem disconjointed. I think it really, you know, flowed very well. But you look at defensively, first three and out that they had in the first series of a game defensively all year long. I mean, that was a blast. Let's see more of that, please.
Watching Lockett last night have the game that he did. You know, the funny part about last night is that Lockett and many others, like, they played well. They did. Like, there were a lot of players who had great performances last night. I was just looking at all of their losses from last year. There's only one game I could point to. It was the loss to San Francisco, where you can make the case that the Seahawks played well enough to win and didn't. All the other losses, the New Orleans getting blown out by the Ravens, the Rams, the Cardinals, and then in the playoffs, I mean, they really just didn't play well at all. Last night, there are a lot of guys, like individual performances and even as a team, that they did very well and still came out of there with a loss because, again, as a team, they did just enough poorly to lose.
Okay, one of the things that really stood out to me and that we haven't had a chance to talk about this is I really liked what I saw from rookie linebacker Jordan Brooks last night. He's going to be a good one. And it also allows KJ Wright to be in the best position for him at this stage of his career, which is at Sam linebacker. And I thought there was a big difference between Jordan Brooks at Will linebacker versus Cody Barton and even versus KJ Wright. One of the silent good plays of the game happened, I think, in the first quarter, where there is in their cover three defense, the Will linebacker is forced to cover a lot of ground. And there was a deep crossing route that the Cardinals tried to throw. Kyler Murray tried to throw. And Jordan Brooks was there step for step with the receiver. And KJ Wright this year, over the last 2 years in reality, has really struggled to cover that crossing route in that coverage. And Jordan Brooks, just being younger, having that 4.4 speed, did a great job in that role. And if he can continue to grow and continue to have big plays like this in cut number 17, Jordan Brooks chasing down Kyler Murray to force fourth down, you're gonna see a lot of fun football here. Curtis, cut 17 here.
Edmonds in the backfield now. Murray takes the shotgun snap, and he's going to run left side. Stretch it out. He's not going to get there. Chasing him down is Jordan Brooks. He comes, the rookie does, from an inside position, and he comes flying up there along with Ryan Neal. It's fourth and goal from the three, and let's see what Arizona is going to do.
Yeah, I think that this is a perfect example of, you know, Seahawks fans have been burned by a couple early rounders, whether it's an early second in the case of Malik McDowell or first rounders with LJ Collier, Rashad Penny, people just waiting for something big and exciting to happen with them. And either because those picks have been players that aren't skill positions or quarterbacks where you're noticing them all the time, you know, it's hard for an offensive lineman like Jermaine Ifedi to stand out. I think people were a little too quick.
Oh, he stood out. Just
listen. I think people were a little too quick when Jordan Brooks, once he got injured, to get nervous. It was understandable. I know why people did it. But Jake, I love you pointing that out because he's got so much promise. He is a player this team loved. They almost took Daryl Taylor there and thought that there might not have been a chance that Jordan Brooks would be available in the second round. And I think they might have been right. Jordan Brooks, you know, whether or not we know it right now, I think is a good pick for this organization. He seems to fit what they like to do. And Jake, I think this was a great example of that.
Speaking of Jermaine Ifedi, is he going up against my guy Aaron Donald tonight?
He is. Yes, you got Bears Rams.
I got my popcorn ready.
All right. One thing I took away from the game here, 15 carries for 68 yards at 4.5 a pop, including the 124-yard touchdown run. Carlos Hyde, he had to come into the game because Chris Carson left the game. Now, I thought he actually did an admirable job. Now, Carlos Hyde, I mean, he was a starter last year for Houston, right? So this is
a
guy,
1,000-yard runner.
You know, right, he's not exactly some schlub. If called upon, he should be able to go out there and get it done for you, whether it's for the entirety of a game or even a couple of weeks, like it looks like it might be here. But you do notice the difference between Hyde and Carson in terms of creating your own runs, in terms of yards after contact, things like that. I mean, Hyde can do that also, but that's what Carson is known for. Like, when he gets paid, that's what he's going to be paid for. And I noticed a bit of a drop-off last night in that. I don't know if you guys agree. And again, maybe we'll see if Hyde can, you know, the more reps he gets out there, because he hasn't played a ton. So we'll see what happens over the next couple of weeks should he be called upon to start. But I did notice a difference between the two.
All right. Here's what I noticed, you guys. I think there was a good effort. I'm curious to hear what both of you guys thought on yards after catch from several wide receivers and tight ends. You had Will Disley picking up a first down, Tyler Lockett at one point. I think David Moore might have been pushing for one, too. There were just several plays where I thought this is the difference between a really good offense as far as skill position players go and a great offense. When you watch the Rams from 2018, a different scheme, different strengths, I get it. But part of what makes it so good is really nice awareness from your position players, something you don't often get with younger players. And I think it's good that Seattle has so many savvy veterans, and even their youngest wide receiver, DK Metcalf, still exceptionally bright and in a really high football IQ. So I think it was nice to see them have awareness, whether it was with Tyler Lockett in the end zone with that toe-tap catch, something we know he's good at and excels with, or whether it was guys like Disley and Olsen and David Moore. And again, back to Tyler Lockett, kind of, you know, juking someone or getting some separation and picking up a first down. Those are the things that set you apart.
Yeah, it is those big plays that you're able to create once you get the ball in your hands. And I think that's a very, very astute thing that caught your eye there, Stacey, because that's where big plays can come from. It's not just being able to, you know, pitch and catch. It's what can you do after the catch that really matters. And one of the other guys that you know, continued to improve and continue to make big plays is David Moore. David Moore's route running over the last, you know, couple weeks, and especially last night, was fantastic. So if David Moore can continue to keep contributing at that level, this offense is going to stay dangerous.
Who was the final interception that Russell threw supposed to be
to for? Tyler.
Was it Moore?
Tyler.
It was for Tyler?
No, it was for Tyler.
Can you imagine if it would have been four touchdowns and 200 however many yards that would have been? Unreal.
No, it would have been unbelievable. Absolutely. Okay.
Speaking of.
Guys, what caught my eye gosh, I'm so frustrated today. I'm so mad to see two special, phenomenal performances wasted. Absolutely wasted. Russell Wilson and Tyler Lockett were outstanding. Outstanding. If it wasn't just for the three bad plays from Russ. Three, you take away those three plays, those two intercept, or let's just even say the last one, right, from Russell Wilson. It is still an unbelievable performance by Russell Wilson here. 388 yards, three touchdowns. He had 84 yards on the ground on six carries. The guy was absolutely fantastic for 95% of this game. Tyler Lockett, 15 receptions for 200 yards. Are you kidding me?
Unreal.
And wasted. Gosh, such a disappointment, guys.
First of all, I love Angry Jake. Just like, gosh, this just, rattlesnakes. It made me so mad. Secondly, that's heated Jake. Secondly, I really, really agree. I was playing someone in fantasy football that had Tyler Lockett, and I still wanted more for Tyler Lockett because he was having the night of his life. And what I liked about it was that he was not part of this conversation heading into the game. I said this earlier, and I'm going to say it again. When I wrote up my own preview for the game, I said the wide receiver conversation will be a battle between who can out-duel the other, DK Metcalf or DeAndre Hopkins. Both receivers were 1 and 2 respectively in yards per game heading into this game. Instead, it was neither. Yes, DeAndre Hopkins got his 100 yards. DK Metcalf, I think, might have had the play of the game with his tackle. But it was Tyler Lockett, the petite. Say it with me, Tom. Petite.
Petite.
He's part of our all-petite, all-time NFL team. He's the one that got it done. He had a phenomenal game, reminded you who's in charge here, reminded you who the savvy veteran is. Tyler Lockett, just amazing situational awareness in the end zone as well. He is so, so, so good. I loved this game
and,
from him.
And one extra thing that just really
grinded
irks
your gears.
Me, yes, is who did I say needed to be the X factor in this game for the Seahawks? It was Tyler. Because DK was going to get the attention. I called it. It was working out perfectly. Wasted. Ah,
a wasted tank. All right. That kind of leads to my next one. I still cannot figure out which is better, Russ to Lockett or Russ to DK. It seems to alternate. Like, for the last two games before last night, Lockett had been kind of quiet. Metcalf had been the go-to. Before that, it was either Lockett or it was both of these guys. As our colleague Maura Dooley tweeted out last night, they're the best wide receiver duo in the NFL, and right now it doesn't seem particularly close. Let's hear one of these from Lockett last night. Cut 11.
Russ takes the snap. Looks, going to let it fly. Downfield, Tyler Lockett is out there. Lockett makes a catch in the end zone. Touchdown, Seahawks. How does he get open? How does he do that? Tyler Lockett is amazing. And the perfect pass from Russell Wilson, a 47-yard shot before halftime, 47 seconds left, and a perfect pass. Lockett with his second score of the night.
Let's answer. I'll ask you guys this question first before we get to four downs here. Which duo are you taking? Are you taking Metcalf and Lockett or Ridley and Jones?
I'm taking Metcalf and Lockett. Absolutely, okay. I am.
I would too.
I think that they're more clutch, and that would be the reason why I take them over Julio and
yeah. If you want Ridley. Fantasy points. You can rely on Ridley every week. Believe me, I can testify to that from this year. I don't know about Lockett and Metcalf. Actually, no, I have Metcalf.
I have Metcalf.
What am I talking about?
Yeah, I think I'm going. I'm going to go Lockett and Metcalf. It's close, but that's because of Julio Jones. Calvin Ridley's had a phenomenal year, but I think that it's this year. I think that Lockett and Metcalf are just more consistent. I fully expect them to be like this for the next several years of Russell Wilson's career moving forward.
Yeah, I think if I need drives to win games, I want Lockett and Metcalf.
All right, don't forget this hour of Tom, Jake, and Stacey is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Let's get to four down territory.
This is four down territory.
With Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
You live for moments like this. Time for us to step up and take it.
Jake, would the game have ended differently if Carson had been healthy throughout?
I believe so. I believe that Chris Carson, not having them there, not having his presence, I think that it brought up a couple things. A, I think that in the run game, they were not as physical. They were not as effective, especially in when things weren't right. You look at Carlos Hyde. You look at Travis Homer. I think Carlos Hyde did a good job, but not to the job that Chris Carson can do, creating at the line of scrimmage and making things right when things go wrong and gaining those extra yards when needed. And so I think that is the difference with Chris Carson, especially when you look at the final drive when they were trying to run the football and seal the game. The other aspect about Chris Carson being out is you have to wonder if with Chris being out, if it could have helped Travis Homer. And I think that was something that really stood out to me as well in terms of keeping Travis Homer healthy in this situation. Here we go. Question two. All right, Stacy, I think
yes,
we lost Tom there.
We'll
so we're I'm taking over here asking the question. I just have to know.
Okay.
I have to know. If there's another thing that we should be grateful for, what is it?
Okay, so this is actually, I called an audible late. I had a completely separate question. It was based on my own recap that I wrote for the website, 710sports.com, shameful self-promotion. You can go read that. Instead, I've got to go to, it was a retweet from Paul Gallant, our very own Paul Gallant, from John McClain. And it was specifically pointing out, look, of all the things to be frustrated with the Seahawks when it comes to the moves that they don't make, at least they haven't like drastically hurt themselves with the ones that they have. So they specifically pointed out Bill O'Brien. The fact that we're watching a game right now where some of the standout performers, DeAndre Hopkins, Dwayne Brown, and we'll put Carlos Hyde in there because this was in the around the third quarter when he had that great touchdown. These guys all had big impacts in that game and all were either like traded away for nothing or not re-signed or extended by Bill O'Brien. So, yes, I know that there's frustration with this team, and I'm going very, very silver lining with this. But I do think one thing to be grateful for when you're a Seahawks fan is that you don't have a dysfunctional front office. That can take down a franchise quicker than any interception, any bad defense.
Third down. Jake, why were there two or three Seahawk defenders standing on the goal line while Christian Kirk was all alone in the back of the end zone to make that touchdown catch? What happened?
Great question there, Tom. It's an example of the Seahawks just completely blowing their coverage and not doing their job, simply put. You're in a goal line zone there across the field. So if you think about it this way, your priority is to protect the goal line. And your eyes are going to be on the quarterback. You're going to be more aggressive. You don't want something quick to happen at the goal line. So basically, you're trying to get your hands on guys, trying to disrupt them as soon as they get to the goal line. But it's still man-to-man principles. Someone in your zone, someone in your area, you eventually have to lock on, latch on, and turn into man. They simply ran an out and a go combination on the outside. Shaquille Griffin had his eyes on Kyler Murray. And instead of taking the go and running with the go, which he should have, he saw the out breaking route coming his way and thought that maybe he could bait Kyler Murray into throwing that out route, getting a big play, making another interception, and instead he let Christian Kirk run right behind him. That was all Shaquille Griffin on that play. Busted coverage, way too easy of a touchdown.
I mean, it wasn't even like Shaquille noticed it late and started running towards Kirk. Like, Kirk caught the ball and Shaquille was still at the goal line. Like, clueless as to what it happened.
Yeah, that's not a situation where he's, like, passing it off to somebody. He's got safety help. No, that was all Shaquille's responsibility right there.
All right. I don't want to harp on him too much because I do like him and we share a birthday. But, oh, man, that was rough. Fourth down. Can the defense improve without adding outside help like J.J. Watt or Carlos Dunlap? Can we do it?
Question.
Yes, they can. Yeah. Yes, they can, but I don't believe so. I don't think they can improve enough without adding help outside. I just believe that this is the style in which this group is going to play. This is the way that they're going to operate. Jamal Adams can obviously make a difference. I think Snacks Harrison can make a difference. But when you have 50 attempts and you have only one pressure, zero quarterback hits, zero sacks, that is addressing a big problem. Another thing that they didn't do, which I'm very puzzled about, is they only allowed Alton Robinson to have 7 snaps. Weird. I don't understand that. Yeah. Alton Robinson is a good player. Don't let this be a Marquise Blair situation all over again. Play your best guys. Play your guys that have the most opportunity to make plays. Even if Alton Robinson is a liability at some points, you got to give him more than 7 snaps. And
wouldn't
so
he have won at least one or two matchups? Have they left him in there? I mean, just
yes,
again, by
yes,
what Collinsworth was saying, just a chance of it.
Yes, he's shown that he could do that as well. So that's why it's a little puzzling, and I hope it's not another Marquise Blair situation like last year, just not playing a guy that we constantly see, you know, standing out from time to time. So I think that they do have to add in order for this defense to get to the level that they are hoping it does.
Yeah, Robinson with the fewest snaps, by the way, of any defensive end. That's such a weird stat. Glad you pointed that out. Let's get to what's on tap.
This is What's on Tap with Tom, Jake, and Stacey, brought to you by Dietz and Watson. So, folks, what's on tap?
You've got my Chicago Bears, 5-1, that I am loving out of spite to prove Tom wrong, going against the L.A. Rams, 4-2 for Monday Night Football. Can your Rams and Jared Goff get it done, Tom? Why is the answer no?
Objection, Your Honor. Leading question. Our audience is going to start wondering, like, how many teams does Tom root for? He's got the Giants, he's got the Seahawks, he's got the Rams. Like, who doesn't he root for? The Rams can get this one done. I'm looking at that Aaron Donald, Jermaine Ifedi matchup. I'm loving every minute of that.
All right. Is Jamal Adams coming back going to make a huge difference in this game? We'll ask that next on Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
You're listening to Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacey Rost.
This hour of Tom, Jake, and Stacey is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Going back to our three questions, this time I'm driving. Because it happened in a loss, you guys, will DK's hustle and tackle be remembered well? Tom, I drew a comparison earlier to Super Bowl 49, or maybe you did, with Jermaine Kearse's amazing catch, the fact that that was completely glossed over. Is DK Metcalf's tackle here going to be glossed over because this is Seattle's first loss of the season and it was an overtime and such a tough one?
I hope not, because this play means something different than Jermaine Kearse's circus catch, right? And one of you pointed out the difference before. Like, the catch, Kearse's circus catch happened, and then the next play, I think, was the interception. So it was like all erased within a second. This DK play is something that even non-Seahawk fans that saw it, like, I mean, any Pop Warner coach or high school coach anywhere who saw that is going to pull that up at the beginning of each season and show it to his players and say, that is what I want on my team. And that is what you should all aspire to be. No, not all of you are God-gifted or blessed with DK Metcalf's talent. And not all of you will be able to chase down Buda Baker because you're not blessed with that speed. But if you try, it will show a lot about you, your character, and it'll show your teammates how hard you're willing to work for them. Excuse me, that's what I'm trying to say. It shows your teammates the level of effort you're willing to give for them. And if they don't then turn around and give you the same effort in return, that's on them. Okay, I think that play is incredible. It's just an incredible teaching moment for everybody.
It is, and this is something that, you know, for Pete Carroll, he takes a special pride in this because this is the style of football that he preaches. Being in those meeting rooms, being in that locker room, and being a part of those discussions, This is exactly what Pete Carroll preaches. He talks about Seahawk football, the Seahawk brand of football, the style of football in which they play, and it is 100% effort all the time, and covering and guarding and protecting every blade of grass. And this is one of those moments with DK Metcalf. It's easy for him to just, you know, watch Buda Baker walk into the end zone. He's 20 yards behind. He's 20 yards behind him, and he's in a dead sprint. He caught the ball in a dead sprint. And DK Metcalf protected every blade of grass possible as he chased him down and gave max effort on that play. And I promise you that's going to be something that's not only shown, as Tom said, around the country, but that's going to be valued tremendously within this Seahawks program. And that is a great sign of culture. When you see plays like this, that goes to speak to the culture that Pete Carroll and this Seahawks group has cultivated and really regards. And I think that was just another illustration of that.
Question number two. Would Jamal Adams have made a huge difference in this game? Before you answer, I'm going to get to cut number three. It's Pete Carroll from Danny and Gallant this morning talking about how big it'll be to get both Jamal Adams and Daryl Taylor back.
I don't feel like we've been at full strength. I don't think that we've seen the best of us. I think it's going to come here in time. We're going to have a chance to see us. It's a long season. Our fundamentals are solid. We know what we're doing. We're working hard at it. We did have a couple mistakes like you do, but those eliminated, getting back to full strength. We need to see what Jamal looks like when he gets back in with us and see how that factors, because we were really, really excited about what he was bringing. He'll be back soon. I think we just got to keep hanging in there until we find it. Looking forward to getting a little boost from Daryl Taylor when he comes back, you know, and things like that, and just continuing to grow.
I do think that Jamal Adams, Tom and Jake, would have been a difference in this game. I think he could have been the difference between a win and a loss. He's that good, and he is that important for your defense. I do also think that Pete Carroll is being optimistic if he thinks that just getting them back will make this a championship caliber defense. Maybe I'm wrong, right? Pete Carroll knows this team better than I do, but it seems like there are so many problems that run so deep that I don't know if Jamal Adams is enough to be just the salve that you need for it.
I don't think that Jamal Adams is going to turn them into the type of defense that goes out and wins you a championship, right? The kind of, you know, when we say championship caliber defense, we're not talking about the 2000 Ravens here.
No.
But I guess what it is, it's hard for me to picture a scenario last night where Jamal Adams wouldn't have affected at least one of those scoring drives that Arizona had, mm-hmm. you know, where they were in third and long, you know, or third and, say, longer than six. And he couldn't have made a tackle, or heck, he could have gotten pressure on Kyler Murray himself somewhere in there, even if it were one play or if it were a series of plays that would have disrupted him enough that maybe he wouldn't have complete or executed some other plays. Like, there's many ways in which Jamal Adams can affect these games. That's why he's such a special player. So I got to think over whether it would have been in individual situations or just in totality, he would have affected it in some significant way.
Right, and we're only talking about 3 points, right? We're talking about 3 points.
Yeah,
we're talking
right.
about just a couple of certain plays, as you mentioned. And Jamal Adams, what he brings to this group, I think he brings an identity. He brings a physicality. He brings an attitude that sparks everybody around him, but also the playmaking ability. And that playmaking ability, I think, would have come up big for this group overall. As you look forward to, you know, getting sacks, making, you know, big coverage stops, you know, stops in the run game. So I think that that's something that we would have to look at, you know, and I do agree that it probably would help you, but maybe not to a dramatic fashion in which I think we're all hoping it will. You're getting Snacks Harrison, you're getting Jamal Adams. I still believe they need to go out and trade for Ryan Kerrigan, J.J. Watt, or Carlos Dunlap. Please, it's part of my wish list. But to sit here and say that Daryl Taylor is going to all of a sudden spark this group, I would love to have that optimistic view that Pete has. I'm not going to believe anything until I see it, and not going to think that he's going to save our pass rush.
All right,
wouldn't that be insane if he did, though? Sorry to interrupt.
Jamal Adams came in and just saved it.
No, Daryl Taylor, like at some point at the end of the year.
I would love to have everyone be wrong about this. I would love nothing
just a
more.
Sack machine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'd love nothing more than for Daryl Taylor and to be the answer here. It would be, I would be glad to eat crow there. And I'm not saying he's not. I wonder if he can even like make it back this year. Like that's where I'm at with this situation. I'm actually going to skip question three. Instead, I'm going to ask the listeners a question, and I have a new question for all three of us. Here's my question. Are we overreacting? Are we overreacting? You had 200 yards from Lockett, almost 400 yards and three touchdowns from Russell Wilson, 500 plus net yards on offense. I think two turnovers in a big four down stop red zone for the defense. Hold your answer. Think about it. Let it marinate. Let it marinate, you guys. 710-710. That's the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. We'll get to it when we sum it up next.
The wave is over.
They're going to wave him in.
It's time to sum it up with Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
Shot clock turned off.
The final word on everything that matters today in sports.
Step back.
The Seattle Seahawks lost their first game of the season. I know none of us love that. It's a tough show for everyone. No one's in a good mood. But you have 10 games left to play. You got a whole season left to play, well over half of it. So I think it's an important time to ask ourselves at the end of our day, Tom and Jake, whether or not we're overreacting. We know that this is Tell the Truth Monday for the Seattle Seahawks. They're going to take a tough look at themselves. Let's take a tough look at ourselves. Obviously, it's a little less intense, right? Fewer consequences.
Hopefully.
But I'm going to ask, are we overreacting? Here's the truth. I'm just going to just facts. The Seattle Seahawks are currently first place in the NFC West. They're 5-1. They had 33 first downs. They were not good on third down. They were 38%. But they had 572 net yards, 200 net yards rushing. Russell Wilson with almost 400 passing yards and three touchdowns. Tyler Lockett with 200 yards. The defense did allow over 500 yards from the Arizona Cardinals. They held them to 42% on third down, which I'd say is closer to average than it is to bad. But they also got them on two big stops. One when Arizona, the second scoring red zone scoring offense in the league, was well into the red zone. And they also got two turnovers. So a mixed bag. There's good and bad. Are we overreacting?
I think depends on what we're overreacting to. I think that if you're overreacting, saying that, oh my gosh, Russell Wilson is terrible moving forward, and that, gosh, this is what happens when you let Russ cook. He throws picks, and that's going to happen. He's also on pace to throw 60 touchdowns and have an unbelievable season. So, yeah, maybe the interceptions will be up. Maybe he'll be around 8 or 10, but I don't anticipate Russell throwing an insane amount of interceptions. This is uncharacteristic for Russell Wilson. So I believe that you're overreacting to that when Russell had, 470 total yards, just in himself. Tyler Lockett, 200 yards. I think offensively, they also rushed for over 200 yards as a group, which is insane. You don't think that. But, it was a huge offensive output by this group. They scored 34 points on an unbelievable defense. I shouldn't say unbelievable. I shouldn't dramatize that. But this defense has been really, really good. They were second in the league in points allowed. And so it's a very good competitive group. So offensively, don't overreact. Defensively, I don't think we can overreact enough. I truly believe that this group is worrisome. I think that you look at their pass rushing needs, it just bothers you. I think when you really think about it, that this is the same story for 2 years now, and Pete and John said that it was a priority. It was a priority, and they didn't get it fixed, right? So you look at some of the decisions and how it's unfolding this year. So that's the biggest question to me. Can they fix their pass rush or not? And that will be your answer in terms of this group and how far they can go.
Tom, I'm going to read a couple from the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line before I throw to you so that we can get the last word in here. One, if we didn't overreact, we wouldn't be caring. Of course we're overreacting. Two, the answer is yes, we are overreacting, but only because this game should have been put away. Another person texting in saying, I think we're overreacting. If you would have told me week one we were going to go 5-0 and then lose in week six and still have the division, I'd take it. Another person texted in, said that we are overreacting. They didn't think it was that bad a game, and the Cardinals are sleepers in the division. Another person saying, don't think we're overreacting. We've been in games going down to the last play of the season, and it was just the first one not to go our way. The defense
that
must step up if we want to win our division.
That's part of what I wanted to say, is that we could be complaining a lot more this season in general just because of how close these games have been. If you want to ask the question you asked a few minutes ago, Stacey, about can this team win a Super Bowl, that would be what I'm concerned about more, is the fact that all these games have been so close. Like, how many of them will be close in the future that don't go the Seahawks' way, right? And will one of those games be the Super Bowl? Like, hopefully not. But as far as whether or not we're overreacting, no. If we're talking about this show, we haven't come anywhere close to overreacting.
Oh, you want me to overreact? Overreact. Like,
you haven't seen anything yet. You should, honey. You ain't seen overreacting. Okay,
cut everyone.
You should have seen Heaps this morning. He was ready to flip his wig. Believe me, he was like mad. All right, you don't even want to know.
I saw someone text in. They were like, cut Griffin. They're not cutting Griffin. No, calm down.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, quick little tidbit here. Guess which running back is suddenly available?
Oh, I already know. CJ Procise. I wouldn't be mad at it.
Pick him up.
I wouldn't be mad at it. Chaos. That's what I want.
Pick him up.
That's what I want, Tommy.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's do it for everyone. This 37-year-old pass rusher just became. Pick him up. Pick him up. Put him on the
sheet. We need him. Now, I agree with you, Tom. We are certainly not overreacting as a show. I think that when you look at it, there's some harsh realities. There are some things that have to be pointed out. This team is still 5-1. This team still has every opportunity to, take the division, to be able to go after the number one seed for, yes, Russell Wilson to still win the MVP. I mean, there's still a lot of bright things that are going on. The question is, can they overcome their deficiencies? And that's the biggest question here, because as you saw on Sunday night, that when Russell and this group isn't on their A game, 34 points, that's a pretty solid night. But when you turn the ball over, do you have enough to be able to get them past that? Can they seal the deal? And that's why, for me, as Tom mentioned, I was not happy this morning. I'm still not happy. I'm proud of myself. I'm patting myself on the back because I was able to keep myself in check. It bothers me to no end because
proud
in the NFL, it is so hard to win games. Seahawks should be 6-0 today, guys, but they didn't because they lacked the ability to slam the door shut despite multiple opportunities to do so. And that, to me, is the most frustrating part about it. It's frustrating to me to see a defense, two defenses that struggled throughout the entire game. One stepped up to the occasion late, one didn't. Why? Because the Arizona Cardinals made adjustments, they got aggressive, and what did the Seahawks do defensively? They got even more conservative, even softer, and didn't give your defense and your best players a chance to have any effect on the game whatsoever. And I think that's what really bothers me. And I'll say this one quick thing. This game against San Francisco, we'll get into it in a little bit, but this game just became a heck of a lot more important than any other time.
I just saw from the 425 here a good idea, and this is not the first time it's been brought up, but somebody wants us to trade for Alden Smith. I'll tell you what, with the year he's having,
been good.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely not worse than anything we got, A, and B, with what's going on in Dallas right now, that team does not care. All right, they could still win that division, and they've mailed it in. Mike McCarthy's done a terrible job, any way you cut it, with that team. Andy Dalton gets destroyed the other day on the field. None of his offensive linemen step up for him at all. Go get Alden Smith now.
There are many things I love about our show and the listeners that tune into it. One of it, the main one really, is that we always try to have fun, be a little sarcastic, be a little snarky, be a little self-deprecating once in a while. And that is certainly continuing on the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. Tom and Jake, with someone leaning into the overreaction. Oh, you want to see me overreact? Cut Russell Wilson. What's this guy doing? Three interceptions? Had enough of him. Another thing I love people leaning into is the pick him up. Michael Strahan thinking he could re-enter the NFL. Pick him up. Pick him up.
Pick him up.
Pick him up. Any single defender ever becomes available. Pick him up.
You guys think I'm kidding.
Oh, we're not.
You guys think I'm kidding. Let's do this.
Let's go. Can Ken
John
still
Schneider.
Play?
John Schneider, get on the phone, work the phone lines, trade deadline. It couldn't be any more important.
Not
the reason
all.
Why, it's not going to fix all your problems, but it will help, and we need some help. We need some help.
All right, you guys, do not go anywhere. That'll do it for us for Tom, Jake, and Stacey today, but Pete Carroll will be speaking with the media at 3 p.m. You can tune in right here on 710 ESPN Seattle. They'll play that and react to it on Bob, Dave, and more, so don't go anywhere. Thanks so much for listening. This is 710 ESPN Seattle.